sentimientos están diciendo mi amor. Calla esa boquita y solo deja que hable tu cuerpo.
Borders have been crossed by marching troops. No missiles have been fired. If the press is awaiting a declaration of war, before it imposes the self-discipline of combat conditions, then I can only say that no war ever posed a greater threat to our security. If you are awaiting a finding of clear and present danger, then I can only say that the danger has never been more clear, and its presence has never been more imminent. It requires a change in outlook, a change in tactics, a change in missions by the government, by the people, by every businessman or labor leader, and by every newspaper. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned. No rumor is printed. No secret is revealed. It conducts the Cold War in short, with a wartime discipline no democracy would ever hope or wish to match.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals.
You can tell me when you're disposable. Summer's Eve, mass and guilt. Sadie's got the mass appeal, baby. Crank this, cause it's a damn. You said it, you want your punchlines a little more compact. Well, shorty, I'm that man. These other cats, they metaphorically rhyme that man. I gave Bruce Wayne a and said, son of your down, I'm ready for combat, man. Get it, combat, man. Nah, ain't nobody who's as hard, man. Ass nuts, lines are like mom, cats, cans, cause they don't shine, and ass. Honey, I'm caught
that. Relevant to TKLN's Wake here on TKLN 88.1 FM, TKLN.fm online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. Again, show TK, aka DJ, here on Mondays and Thursdays from 6 to 7 a.m. Hopefully you enjoyed Miss Natasha Von Castle and her lovely colleagues spinning your soul food for you for 4 hours. They are a tremendous amount of fun and tremendously lovely, so we are privileged to have them on air here at TKLN Radio. And to start off the show, a little clip from 1961, JFK's address to President and the Press, where he outlined the vast monolithic conspiracy, and then his predecessor, Dwight D. Eisenhower, in his farewell address from office in 1961 in January, warning us of the dangers of the military-industrial complex. And then, of course, to follow that up, you got Eminem's Won't Back Down featuring Pink. If we don't back down here on this show, we don't back down from celebrating the fact that we know what they're up to. They got caught, and because they got caught, we got a shot. And I'm telling you, it's nothing to go off on this stuff today. So many people have around the world. Millions of people are exposing the New World Order system behind globalization, the plan to put a globally centralized power in the hands of a few central bankers. And so right now what we have is we've had people since the 1950s, 1960s, people like Cleon Skousen, people like Myron Fagan. We've been talking about the New World Order conspiracy, and of course, two former U.S. presidents certainly alluding to it heavily. And so where are we today? What exactly is going on here? Well, we are in an age where we have to fight the information war. We have to get information out there about this conspiracy to make sure that we can handle it and make sure that we can move past it. They gambled. They gave us education. They gave us knowledge. They gave us power. And they took us from slavery to a fairly capable class of worker bee, and it's now time for us to work on our freedom. So what's getting in the way of that? What are the issues we have here? Well, look, the internet, like many other things, a double-edged sword. And so I'd like to make sure we can help avoid the trap that the World Wide Web and the spider may have set for us, by not just updating things, by not reducing our language, and by not getting caught in the casino gulag economy that is planned. Toronto's got two of the most Facebook users in the world, so a clip from Max Kaiser on the Alex Jones Show talking about online virtual debt. The next plan for the New World Order to trap us in electronic hallucinations and make it more difficult to fight back, and then we'll be back.
The internet kill switch, we see it happening in Cairo, right? They flick the switch, they shut down social media. This completely obliterates the point of the internet to begin with. You know, the internet is supposed to be point-to-point, open-ended. The point of the internet under the DARPA design was that you couldn't take it down. You couldn't kill it. There's thousands and hundreds of thousands of points.
Instead, under this, you can only visit a handful of sites like Facebook. They admit that's the model.
Right. Well, in the initial thing, and the reason why there is a Facebook is because any frickin' 22-year-old college Harvard guy could create a domain site and go to the world and get thousands of users and create a company. But that will kill that. That's another reason why Facebook is overvalued at $50 billion, is because they're killing the golden goose here. If you strip the entrepreneur out of the internet, if you make it impossible for people to reach the world for free, which was what made the internet this multi-billion, trillion global phenomenon, you're killing it. You're killing the golden goose. So why? Because those people like Comcast and the major media companies, they want to squeeze just yet another few pennies from the consumer, and they don't care if the consumer has to go into debt, and that brings us back to the casino gulag. So the people on these sites like Facebook, not only are they going to spend all their money on virtual currencies getting avatars and other game pieces to show off to their friends in a meaningless way. But they're going to go into virtual debt. This is a subject that has not been talked about. In other words, the same way people go into debt today with mortgages they can't afford or car payments they can't afford, people online are going to start going into virtual debt. And the only way they can pay off their virtual debt is to stay online 24 hours a day, clicking on ads.
So the beauty about it now is that we know in today's world, I ask, why God create we when we's nobody? You know, we don't want to be slaves. We must be someone really need a direction. Not a big old signing up this and signing up that, but a direction in your own country.
And that's right, folks. We really need direction in the whole country. And I'd like to say out there, here on the third day of February 2011, there are many people who are in this fight, who are sharing information, who are very optimistic about this. Now, we may come across as negative, but let me explain something to you. There's positive thinking, which is looking at a problem and thinking you can do something positive about it. And then there's positive ignoring, which is looking at a problem and then thinking of something positive to say to take your mind off. And that's what we're sort of being socially engineered to do. We're being socially engineered to positively ignore things, to sort of say, you know what, we for example, I'll give you an example. And I hope you have the time of your life out there. I just hope that we can continue and things keep getting better. But I'll give you an example. Recent Globe and Mail poll showed about 70% of Canadians didn't think that our Prime Minister Stephen Harper was worth the office. They thought he was beneath the office. He shouldn't be our Prime Minister. And that's 70% of Canadians in a random Globe and Mail poll, but that sounds right about right to me. Based on the plans of the New World Order banking families behind him that he's lustily carrying out, including purchasing several F-35 fighters at a cost of $16 billion. When we're in a recession, we're cutting services, including 40 Toronto Transit Commission bus routes here in the city that people in the city can ill afford to lose. So, you got Stephen Harper, you got 70% of Canadians who don't like him being Prime Minister and don't like him. What is the next sentence to say after that if you bring it up? Well, the next sentence would logically be, at least, you know, in a sort of modern logic speak, the next sentence would be, well, hey, you know, it sucks, but at least we have upcoming elections, you know, hopefully we'll get somebody in there better. Or something like that. As opposed to, wait a minute, 70% of us don't like him. That means a whole bunch of us could be scrapping on this issue. That means that we could be thinking about this. There's obviously a lot of people that might have a vested interest in doing something about this. Maybe we should keep an eye on his policies. What is pissing us off? And so you know, it's important to figure out, you know, what's been happening here. What is it that takes people who don't like their leader and then causes them to not look at them, you know, any closer, look into how to deal with that and mitigate that and get rid of them and get better policies from our federal government? Well, clip from Russia Today on how NGOs, non-governmental organizations, often work for U.S. foreign policy and often work for New World Order policy in general.
So what is really going on here? Is it possible that these non-governmental organizations, along with the government, are double-dipping, funding both police and protester? What are organizations like National Endowment for Democracy, Freedom House, and International Republican Institute really after? And what gives? Using human rights as the reason, the majority of the time, for any sort of involvement in other countries. Mark Weisbrot, co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, is here. And Mark, let's start with this report that we just saw on co-opting resistance. So many of these NGOs go into these other countries under the premise that they're there for human rights purposes. What are they really after?
Well, it depends. You mentioned the National Endowment for Democracy. They were set up really to act as an instrument of U.S. foreign policy, and they've done that in recent years in places like Venezuela, where they were involved in funding organizations that were involved in the coup in 2002, or in Haiti in the coup in 2004. You had a lot of these so-called democracy promotion organizations that are funded either directly by the U.S. government through USAID, which has a lot more funding than NED, you know, it's much, much bigger, or, you know, indirectly through the NED.
I want to talk about countries. In the report, we saw the example used about Egypt. You know, basically the government's being funded, but also the opposition being funded. Funding, as I mentioned before, police and protester. What could possibly be the strategic interest here?
Well, you know, the U.S. government is not monolithic, and the organizations they fund are monolithic. They'll fund some organizations that are trying to do good things in the world, but their main focus is on power and control. And so the bulk of their funding, for example, in Egypt, you know, most of it's going to the government, because that's a government that the United States supports and wants.
But if you look to see what's happened to our liberties and so forth, even the last 20 years, if you're old enough to fully understand, well, how much we have lost in the last 20 years, now double in the next 20 years, multiply that times 4 to 6. That's how fast this is going to start happening now, because they have us by the neck right now, and all they need to do really is to close the noose. The noose is complete around our neck. All they need to do is close it. That's what this president, I think, is intending to do. And it could happen within 2 years, but I think it's going to take a little bit longer than that, because people are waking up.
If you weren't a musician, do you think you'd have been some sort of a freedom fighter?
Yeah, I'd be a revolutionary. Yeah.
All of the things that's wrong, would you stand tall and strong, or would you turn it all away? What would you do if you knew all the things we knew? Would you stand up for truth, or would you turn away too? And then what if you saw all of the things that's wrong, would you stand tall and strong, or would you turn it all away?
I see a message from the government. Like every day, I watch it and listen and call them all suckers. They wanted me about Osama or whatever. Picture me buying the scam, I said never. You in tune to a hard truth, soldier spitting. I stay committed, give up to die, I lose commission. It's all a part of fighting devil state mind control, and all about the battle for your body, mind, and soul. And now I'm hoping you don't close your mind so they shape you. Don't forget they made us slaves, gave us AIDS and raped us. Another push season mean another war for profit. All in secret so the public never seek to stop.
And we're back, folks. That's right. A couple of clips there for you from a story guest on the show, including, well, RT America on NGOs. And essentially, NGOs are non-governmental organizations, usually certified by the United Nations in some way, who are there as instruments of soft power, as instruments of foreign and domestic policy, to basically mislead activism. I'll give you an example. And this is also what makes it so difficult, because we think that with so many groups out there asking for money, so many charities out there working on problems, we think that they're actually taking care of the problem. And in fact, charity is the oldest trick in the book. There was an Indian word for it called Sakir, where they basically have guys who are like fake medicine men or fake priests, and the modern thing is fake charity. And some of the people who work there try and do good work. In fact, I think 90% of people on the world and in all these organizations are good people. But that's why we have to get more active in the information war. If they don't really know what's going on in the big charities, in governments, in corporations, in the police, military, and intelligence forces, then they're going to try and make sense of the insane orders that they have. And our positive thinking or positive ignoring universe helps us make sense of it. The New World Order will teach us to like things like globalization. They'll teach us to cheer for the protests in Egypt. They'll teach us to cheer for the new leader, El Baradei.
because they'll use their media to convince us, and you know, we would rather the media give us something to cheer for than depress us, which is what they usually do. So that makes sense. And then you'll get commercials like the ones I've been seeing on TV recently with Mike Holmes. I think he's a guy that's on a home show. And he's in Africa. He's got a couple little African boys with him. And he's saying AIDS and HIV killed their parents. And he's saying, you know, now they got nowhere to live. And you can make a difference in one child's life. And it sounds good to say, you know, can you do just a little bit? You know, if you do the little thing, can you make a difference in one child's life? The way they get us thinking on, you know, these really, really micro levels in terms of affecting change is partly how they destroy our ability to think bigger than that. I mean, could we get, if our politicians don't do what we ask them to do, or what they should do, or what they promise to do, could we get them out of office? If charities and independent media and activist organizations don't expose the truth as best they can, should we expose them as frauds? If the Masons, whose motto is, you know, we make good men better, don't do that, should we expose that fact? Maybe let more Masons know about their hypocrisy? If stores use children in their advertising to help sell their products, should we ask them to be consistent when it comes to sharing some of the risks to children out there with parents who come into the store, like the risks of vaccines, the risks of GMO food, the risks of soy, hyper-feminizing girls and feminizing boys? There's an article here from New York Magazine. They know what boys want. It says, I wouldn't mind if they send me a picture of you, but it's like the way they ask for it. Naked, an after-school conversation with girls about sex and the internet. And I'm going to get back to this article in just a minute, but this is basically an article about how kids out there in the little, you know, crippled robot speak that we're using on the internet are basically destroying their natural relationships and dehumanizing each other as a result of excess porn. But first, I got to go to Webster Griffin Tarpley for the news on Egypt. He can break this stuff down even better than I can. Been doing it for a while.
Mubarak, 32 years. Gaddafi, 40 years. The Assad dynasty in Syria, 30 years. Big targets in some ways. But with the internet, the telephones, and the Twitter and Facebook shut down, somewhat harder to do under these circumstances. In addition, there have been riots in Albania. So it's essentially Tunisia, Albania, Yemen, Egypt. Al Jazeera is on a campaign. They have now become their own Assange and their own WikiLeaks. They are distributing the Palestinian papers, who knows, more or less doctored, designed to make the PLO look very bad. To essentially destabilize them. And again, things that were more or less suspected or partially known, now documented, and of course, a big hue and cry about what the PLO was willing to accept in order to get a Palestinian state. One of the things I think that goes out the window is this notion often spread that the Camp David meeting of 1998 or 1999, at the end of the Clinton administration, that Israel had come forward with a generous offer, which was rejected by Arafat. I think that is not borne out by these papers. Anyway, the idea is that the attempt by Al Jazeera, meaning British intelligence, to essentially destabilize the PLO, that's ongoing. So that should be added in. Now, the interesting question is, would Iran become the beneficiary of these destabilization operations that the U.S. is busily carrying out? Notice the U.S. was too weak to install Alawi in Iraq. Instead, we have Maliki, who is pro-Iranian. The U.S. is not able to prevent Karzai from going to Moscow and signing economic development deals that will allow Russia to rebuild the Soviet infrastructure at the expense of international lenders, reestablishing a Russian presence in Afghanistan. Can the CIA really think that they'll be able to control everything in Tunisia? Maybe they can. In Egypt, not so easy. In Yemen, certainly not easy. to say nothing of the other countries now being busily mentioned by the commentators here, Libya, Jordan, Algeria, Saudi Arabia, Syria, the Emirates of the Gulf. Some places there are really oppressive, but this is all now possible. Will Iran become the key beneficiary? Well, what do we see? In Lebanon, where we had an attempted color revolution in 2005, the Cedars Revolution, right, with the especially Maronite golden youth with flags and their Ferraris and Porsches driving through the streets in the night, well, that has now turned into a government in which Hezbollah is the one of the principal influences on the government of Lebanon that has just come in last week is Hezbollah. So the U.S., of course, freaked out about that. Democracy, okay, but only as long as it's our puppets. Notice also the destabilization of Berlusconi goes forward with new and outrageous maneuvers by these so-called magistrates, the investigating judges in Milan. It's obviously a slow-motion attempted coup d'etat. And then we want to add in the bomb at the Moscow airport, to which Putin has now promised either retaliation or retribution, depending on what that word is in the original text. Well, whenever these things happen, right, we have to go back, and I urge you to go back, to that extraordinary briefing given by Putin in his dacha at Nova Ogoryeva in September of 2004, after the massacre of the children at the Beslan school, where he says there were circles in the West who want to destroy the Russian Federation the way Rome destroyed Carthage. They pretend to be cooperating with us, but they harbor representatives of the various terror groups. When we asked for their extradition, we're told, no, these are rebels and freedom fighters. And then some very bitter commentary from Russia again this week. What is this talk about rebels? What is this talk about freedom fighters? Naturally, whenever you get references to terrorism in the U.S., that's, of course, anybody who does that is immediately absolute evil. But when you get over to Russia, there, it's possible then it's actually required to talk about reasons and sociological causes. In other words, the blowback theory is applied to the others, but not to the U.S. And that's what you'll see in the Washington Post editorial of today, the 28th of January, 2011, where we find that it's actually all Putin's fault because of Putin's inability to understand what those people in the North Caucasus really want. It's his fault, and probably we can also look at the idea that when it's Russia, it's seen as either the authorities are too oppressive, in the case of Putin, or they're not oppressive enough. They don't have enough body scanners and other things set up. Well, I would simply say we heard a lot of talk about reset with Russia. What has been going on really is, on the one side, the Khodorkovsky sentence, the top finance oligarch in the country, the biggest parasite, asset stripper, and expropriator of national property to make it his own private fiefdom. He's been sent back to jail for another 6 years, and of course the hue and cry in the West is enormous. Anybody that rich should be above the law. We finance oligarchs are above the law. That's pretty much what Medvedev heard now at Davos. So that's number one. U.S. and Britain not happy that their man Khodorkovsky has been sent back to jail. Secondly, the WikiLeaks, when we had this meeting between the so-called Russian opposition, this gaggle of dysfunctional, marginal people, and Michael McFaul, the Russian director of the National Security Council, one of the people who was targeted along with Putin, and perhaps second only to Putin, is Kadyrov. Kadyrov being the president of Chechnya, installed by Putin. And behind Kadyrov is the so-called Grey Cardinal, Surkov, an official in the Medvedev entourage. So they were targeting the two of them in particular, Kadyrov. And is that because of human rights violations by Kadyrov, or is it because he has, by and large, succeeded in suppressing a significant amount of terrorism in Chechnya. The other one is the Karzai trip to Moscow. When the president of Afghanistan feels free to go to Moscow and to make these deals, this, of course, drives the U.S. up the wall. You remember about a year ago, Obama made a blitz emergency visit to Kabul after Karzai had gone to Beijing. That was bad enough, but now Moscow, no, it's too much. So this involves the Salang Tunnel in the Hindu Kush, hydroelectric plants that have to be rebuilt, and a gas pipeline from Turkmenistan to India that the U.S. is determined to stop, to sabotage. And generally speaking, all of these infrastructure deals are exactly what the U.S. is in Afghanistan to prevent. And once again, the Romanian solution would be, for example, Ceausescu wanted to have his son Nicu become the leader in his stead. Now, that could be Mubarak abdicates in favor of his son Gamal. It behaves like a monarchy, even though, formally speaking, it's not. Mubarak might be able to abdicate in favor of his son Gamal, who would come in promising reforms. Would this be enough to quell the street? Not clear, one way or the other. Another possibility is that the entire Mubarak family is ejected. They go to Saudi Arabia or Switzerland or wherever one goes. And then you get somebody from the Mubarak entourage who becomes the caretaker, and then they have elections, I believe, in the autumn of this year. These two options, well, there they are. One would be the abdication, one would be the complete elimination of the Mubarak dynasty. The other one, though, which has to be borne in mind, suppose you have, under these depression conditions, with breakdowns in the supply of food and fuel, the collapse of the regime and the emergence of social chaos, that is to say, Egypt on the path to being a failed state. The largest organization in the country, other than the army, is the Ikhwan, the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, generally speaking, the facts on the Muslim Brotherhood are it's a creation of British intelligence in the 1920s designed to counter and to undermine the forces of modernization, industry, science, technology, social reform in the country. And during the regime of Nasser in 1950s and 60s, when Nasser was about the best you were going to get in any Arab country at that time and had real achievements. Think of the Aswan High Dam, flood control, hydroelectric power, economic modernization in the face of bitter opposition from John Foster Dulles, the pro-Nazi. It was possible for the British to have an internal opposition against Nasser thanks to the presence of the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, since then, the Muslim Brotherhood may not be solely devoted to the rejection of modern science, technology, industry, and social reform. It may have become factionalized to the point where they've learned some lessons. Maybe they've seen the lesson of Iran shutting down its nuclear program in 1978-79 and then having to make up for lost time later on in terms of building power reactors. I think that if you did get the collapse of the regime and social chaos, followed by a seizure of power by the Muslim Brotherhood, you'd probably then have a counter coup by the army, quite possibly backed by the U.S. or maybe not, and that would then lead to a military rule, which would have certainly possibilities. Anyway, I don't think any of these alternatives is cut and dried. The general idea seems to be that the Egyptian regime will not be so easy to overthrow. It's more like Iran in 2009 than it's like someplace else. But that is simply wisdom that could go out the window within 6 to 12 hours.
My big mouth. I got a big mouth. Can't help it. I talk from my heart. I'm real.
Well, Google CEO Eric...
And that's right, folks, we're back. I do have a big mouth as well, and Webster Tarpley has a big mouth, and he has a lot to say. Hopefully you enjoyed that little slice of what's going on in Egypt from his perspective from last Saturday's World Crisis radio show.
Blood in my eyes.
Because it's important.
Love in my mind. I feel a nice full of pain.
Well,
There's things that we
the
control
same.
And things that we can't.
Who keep the stage
and
down.
Some of the things we control
the
are
rain,
things where we live. And some of the things we can't are things overseas.
I work forever,
and so Pastor
but
Lindsey Williams on the Alex Jones Show, he just talked about the crisis in the Middle East, which he saw thanks to his contacts with a senior oil executive in charge of making plans for the world. He said the big crisis in the Middle East that he foreshadowed, that he heard was coming, was in part just to distract the hell out of him.
So I pick the world up and I'ma drop it on your.
Yeah, that's right. They like to pick the world up and they like to drop it on our flipping head. That's the media's doing right now with the protest that we've been taking our eye off the ball when it comes to what we could be doing here. About things like media consolidation, the new metering rules on the internet, about the battle here at TKLN Radio, where we're trying to fight to take the stage between now and February 12th, which is scheduled to be our last broadcast day. You can go to my blog at blackchristian.blogspot.com. I produce a few flyers from 4 to a page and some 6 to a page flyers. For about $20, you make about 3,000 of the 6-to-a-page ones. And you can drop them off places. You can give them to people. You can drop them off mailboxes. You can leave them at businesses. I've done this before for different events. And I've asked to leave a small stack of flyers at counters. And if it's for a short term period, then many businesses don't mind. Especially if it's tied to a piece of paper their customers can take or not. And so, here on the show, I'd like to focus on things that we can control, including our socialization. I still think men should man up and defend this country on behalf of women, children, and the elderly, because guys like fighting more. I think women should get the scrap, I think adults should get scrapping for their freedom here in communist Canada, and not settling for the nifty little ways that we're getting to ignore trying to work on these problems. I've seen and I've heard of, I've heard confirmed by other people, I've seen the glass eye, the redirect, the segue. I've seen the look away, and I've also seen the, drive to get to go as positive as possible with the next thought once something negative is brought up. Let's say we find the people who can deal with it. Who can deal with what's going on in the new world order, because we are being progressively weakened in that respect. And so, I'm going to take you to what's happening with the kids. People should get us some loose scraps in here. They know what boys want. Back to the New York Magazine article. I wouldn't mind if they said, send me a picture of you. And it's like the way they ask for it. Naked. And that's what conversation with girls about sex and the internet. It says here that all it really showed was my thigh, she says, about a picture she took before getting into a little persona of pride here, developing looks. But, like, no cocky-ish. But I have a body. When I take a picture, it shows. Everything is, like, out there. and it goes through some of the ups and downs of it when it comes to the teenagers, especially teenage boys, looking at pornography and then demanding their girlfriends act like porn stars. Is there a way we can intercede on this process, knowing that the New World Order is promoting sex primarily, heavily, to control our minds? Well, I'll let you know this. RT America had a bit of a special on Google's privacy laws. Since all of us use Google, let's see how they're collecting our data, and let's try and figure out what they're doing with it and if they're using it to brainwash us better.
Well, Google CEO Eric Schmidt is stepping down from his position. Google, undoubtedly one of the most powerful companies in America, if not the world. Is it simply a changing of the guard or something else? And what will the change mean, if anything? Jamie Cord is president of Consumer Watchdog and author of the new book, The Progressive Guide to Raising Hell. He joins us from our L.A. studio. Hey there, Jamie. Just briefly, your take on why Eric Schmidt stepped down.
Well, look, he's had a string of very embarrassing statements on privacy for the last year and a half, and he's presided over some really big scandals. There was a scandal where Gmail email address books were turned into a social network and made public. There was a scandal where Wi-Fi networks were read by streetcars. Street view photography cars were basically getting data transmission downloaded across the world. There's been a lot of disclosures about privacy problems at Google, and then the CEO, Schmidt, has exacerbated him by making some really outrageous statements and saying we get right up to the creepy line is one of those statements. So I think he hasn't done a particularly good job, and this is a signal that they want to go back to the founders and try to get the brand back because the brand's taken a beating.
And I know, Jamie, your company put a video together that sort of pokes fun of the Google brand and particularly their motto, "Don't Be Evil." This video aired in Times Square, certainly generating some discussion. I want to play a portion of it and then have you talk about it.
Free ice cream! Hi there, boys and girls. They should know there's no such thing as a free ice cream. Give me a dozen full body scans. Come on, kids. Get your ice cream. I already know your favorite flavors. Now hold still while we collect some of your secrets. And if there's anything you don't want anyone to know, well, you shouldn't be doing it in the first place.
So, finally, in conclusion, with all of this, I think 9/11 is a seminal event of our time. It is the event that should radicalize the people of this country. If any one event would, it is this one. It is you who are the torchbearers with respect to that truth. And you have to continue to bear that torch and to try to get it into the mainstream and not be discouraged when you don't. And not be discouraged when you get discredited and when you get attacked and when you are ignored. Because that is the nature always of prophecy and prophets in their own time. I ask you not to mourn the passing of democracy and liberty in this country. Don't mourn it, because mourning takes energy, it's negative. Don't mourn the passing of democracy. Organize. Organize to restore it wherever it's possible for you to do so. Steel your spines, inspire your children. And then when the moment is right, rise again as though from the ashes and rebuild this great land. Thank you.
You what it really is. I can only tell you what it feels like. And right now, I feel like in my windpipe, I can't breathe. I still fight while I can't fight. As long as the wrong feels right, it's like I'm in flight.
What can we do about all this? Well, I'll tell you this. I made this point this summer when I was more active on the streets downtown. I noticed a few things. But we need each other a bit more personal space. I noticed last Thursday when I was here in Toronto after the show walking around, I saw a couple of dudes whack into a couple of girls. One of them seemed on purpose in the morning. There was a dude walking by this girl and just whacked into her. And she turned around and she looked at him kind of pissed and he just kept walking by. And it took me by total surprise. And then later on that day, I'm on Queen Street. The first instant I see a young man down. And later on I'm on Queen Street. And I have this girl jogging. And this big dude just walks into it. And she stops there and touches him up for a second. I stop and I keep an eye on the situation for a second. And he apologizes and then they keep going. But I gotta tell you, with all the attacks on us and all the texts on us, with the short attention spans and everything else, we are fundamentally, our means of communicating with each other are fundamentally being altered.
You ever love
and that makes
so
it tougher to think
really
of a big plan to deal with the New World Order. And to deal with that, you should just CKLN, by the way, you can go to CKLN.fm as well. Very important to mention a dissenting opinion by CRTC Commissioner Madame Louise Poirier, who strongly disagrees with the decision to revoke our license, that we should have been given a warning, and said she hasn't seen a decision like this at the CRTC in its recent history. It's very unusual. So certainly good information you can use. There is a petition you can find, a petition online. Online, CKLN 88.1, or type CKLN petition into Google, it'll pop up. And you know, my blog as well. Just gonna stand.
But there's over 1,200 signatures as of last night, so hopefully we get to 50 or 100,000 or 500,000. Who knows? There's 5.5 million people in Toronto and fans worldwide. It's entirely possible that there could be a few hundred thousand signatures on there. And the more efforts we have to show that we are one of the radio station here, CKLN 88.1 FM, been on the air for 25 years, the more we'll have for CRTC, our elected officials, the courts,
now
and everybody else.
I'm going to go
back to this article for a second here.
Says
here, Crystal didn't just post a picture to see how boys would respond. She also posted to see how boys would respond to those responses. And respond he did. And here he opened the text and he was like, we talked about that picture. Don't you think it's a little bit too much? And I was like, there's nothing wrong with the picture. Calm down. And he was like, look at the comments. And I was like, the comments are bad, but the picture isn't. So, let's see what we're being taught to do here. We're being taught to dehumanize each other. And there's tons of girls out there putting pictures of themselves up on the internet, and tons of guys calling them out for being hoes. And yet that attention is what they crave. Is there a more positive attention that we can give each other with respect to our relationship? People talk about keeping it positive, people talk about spreading love, and yet there's all this going on, behind the scenes, underneath. Because, we're being programmed to dehumanize each other, to make it easy to control, and we're being turned into robots to our technology. And we're also being told to laugh at the silliest things. We make, something out of nothing and nothing out of something. So, here's a quick clip from the most popular podcast in the world, Adam Carolla's podcast, featuring Seth Rogen, creator of Family Guy, talking nonsense.
Now, you went to work for Hanna-Barbera, right?
Yeah.
So you came out here shortly after graduation.
Mm-hmm.
Do they do some headhunting? Do they come out there and go draw Yogi and Boo Boo for me? And let's see what we got here.
Draw Squiddly Diddly and Oggy Doggy. And yeah, they and the Partridge Family 2200 AD.
Can I ask you, by the way, in the cop-out name department, Squiddly Diddly or Grape Ape? Worst cop out? Like in the I got nothing department.
Squiddly Diddly, because I feel like Grape Ape was at least, okay, he's a gorilla and he's purple.
How about Hair Bear Bunch versus Squiddly Diddly in the cop out name department?
Hair Bear Bunch, they still got the funny afros. Squiddly Diddly, what? He's just like an octopus or something?
I don't know, but making a name that rhymes, a sound that rhymes with Squiddly after you've named him Squiddly does not count as a name.
I would wholeheartedly agree. They were clocking out at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Right, and must have been drunk by noon because it was like Squiddly.
Yeah, they're like, what'd you draw? Something Squiddly.
Squiddly. Yeah. What rhymes with Squiddly? Diddly.
That, there it is.
Diddly.
Bingo.
Meaning?
Bingo.
No. All right. Moving on. Next.
And he's only got. He's not. What is that's like? One, two, three, four, five. I count six arms.
Well, yeah.
Seven.
All right, but Stewie only has four fingers. Right?
I don't know who that guy is in the white, but I bet he was. I bet Squiddly Diddly was always making trouble for that guy.
Yeah.
Whoever.
It looks
like
a troublemaker.
Something we all adore. The one thing worth dying for. Nothing but pain, stuck in this game, searching for fortune and fame. Something we all adore, the one thing we dying for. Nothing but pain, stuck in this game, searching for fortune and fame.
And that's right, folks, we are back. And this is what we're doing. Yeah. We're being. Who wants a reality TV show out there?
Yeah.
Who does it? Who doesn't mind being a girl? Who doesn't mind sharing my information? Who doesn't have a place revolutionary thought? Too many of us feel that way. So, more of us have to get out there and show it's cool. Show it's alright. Show that it's alright for us to break down these ideas in some more detail and to not just go along with what we're being sold on a regular basis. Taking you through a whole bunch of things. Let's see what our media is telling us these days here
with the Metro International Edition. It says here, baby drama. Nala Stacey Uncertain, Dish, page 26, talking about Halle Berry's baby and her custody battle, which I love to take stories on, just to keep track of this stuff. And it's amazing, all the Hollywood divorces out there, and all the other ways you're being socialized. Very great day. That's why we gotta get out to the InfoWar. Share some tires, share some CDs, share some movies, share some web links, share some information so other people can know about the New World Order to help give them some context and some perspective. Because we do have to resist this socialization. You know what? Instead of a clear 30 centimeters of snow, the city received 13 to 17 centimeters. 340 flights out of 1,200 were canceled at Pearson International Airport. That's right. Notorious Big, as it was nicknamed in one poll by the National Post, wasn't that bad here in Toronto. So if they can't get the weather right for that day, not even ice day the weekend, but if they get the weather right for the weekend, then I'll believe in 20 years about global warming. But if they can't get the weather right for that day, isn't it time that we all expose the myth of climate change, a.k.a. global warming? Not to mention it's been cold as hell for the last 4 years since they announced there'd be global warming, and cold in bizarre parts of the world where it normally isn't. School board defense closures as a result. Interesting, G20 officer charged again. Trump's officer, state constable, Babak Angelib Gortani, 30, was charged Tuesday with a second count of assault with a weapon related to Jews' G20 protest. This follows complaints that a woman was hit with a baton near the Ontario Legislature last June 26th. He also faced the same charge as takedown of Adam Nobody, also the Ontario Legislature, during the June summit. Again, I stress and I reiterate, the Egypt protests look like a UK-US destabilization effort. They are being sold on our television to brainwash us into thinking of rioting as the best way to achieve a political change. And that's insane. It's always been insane. And our cops are basically trained to go after us like this. And I remember being on the streets myself, and I was putting up flyers saying, "Screw the damn $1 billion protest. Can we share fluoridealert.org instead? Can we pass on the non-GMO shopping guide? Can we save our celebrities? IndianCitizen.com." So the cops didn't treat me the way they treated the protesters. And I'm not saying I'm special or anything like that. I'm just saying that they're literally trained to look at protesters like scum in situations where they're conducting crowd control exercises and locking down a city like at the G20. So let's figure out another way to fight the New World Order in the information war and to start pressuring our politicians for better policies. And our media isn't giving us much. I'm looking at the TV, looking at the papers, and there's random stories that we're going to forget in a couple of days. We need to find some things that we can sink our teeth into, including the speech by Myron Fagan from the 1960s about the CFR and the Illuminati.
Now then, this satanic plot was launched back in the 1760s when it first came into existence under the name of the Illuminati. This Illuminati was organized by one Adam Weishaupt, born a Jew, who was converted to Catholicism and became a Catholic priest. And then, at the behest of the then newly organized House of Rothschild, defected and organized the Illuminati. Naturally, the Rothschilds financed that operation. And every war since then, beginning with the French Revolution, has been promoted by the Illuminati, operating under various names and guises. I say under various names and guises because after the Illuminati was exposed and became too notorious, Weishaupt and his co-conspirators began to operate under various other names. In the United States, immediately after World War I, they set up what they called the Council on Foreign Relations, commonly referred to as the CFR. And this CFR is actually the Illuminati in the United States. And its hierarchy, the masterminds in control of the CFR, to a very great extent, are the descendants of the original Illuminati conspirators.
I'm not afraid.
Yeah. It's been a ride.
Everybody.
I guess I had to go to that place. to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me. I'll get you there.
You can try and read my lyrics off of this paper before I lay them. But you will take the thing out these words before I say them. This ain't the way I'm gonna let you stop me from causing mayhem. What I'm saying, but you saw my doing. I don't give a damn what you
think. I'm doing it for me. The world beat me. The concerned about their apparent control over the world. If you share information out there, people will make better choices. There's a complaint in a story here in the Metro about how 70% of people in Toronto make complaints to the local ombudsman. So there's tons of people out there with gripes about the system. All they need is a bit more info to make better rights. And so before Monsignor William Watsoni, a.k.a. the great Bill Watson, takes you on a four-hour jazz bungee series courtesy of CKLM 88.1 FM radio. I'd just like to shout out a couple of things here of a final note, and that is there's been recent stories about what's been going on in Egypt, and they've been involving journalists like C.I. Anderson Cooper getting roughed up. Why do I say C.I. Anderson Cooper? Because he interned at CIA when he was in college at Yale. He's a Vanderbilt heir, Vanderbilt's one of the powerful shipping companies, shipping families in the United States. And so there's stories of him getting roughed up and it being blamed on supporters of Mubarak, who, bad guy or not, could be demonized in a way that's similar to Operation Ajax. The CIA's first coup in 1953, which they bragged about on their website, where they basically paid people to shoot up fellow Iranians and to say they supported Mohammed Mossadegh, the current leader, and that made the people turn on Mossadegh. So are these people roughing up, and a Canadian cameraman got beaten severely too? Are these people roughing up Western journalists? Are they part of the psychological operation? Well, it's possible. But what we have to do is get the idea of false flag attacks, false flag reality, the manufacturing of fears and crises and divide and conquer and relationship breakdown and health risks. Get all of that out there. There are people that spend years working on different aspects of this problem that don't understand the New World Order. But if they did, they would understand that these people just don't just have a different opinion, like people fighting to fluoridate Calgary. They're stone cold killer eugenicist liars. And we have to face that, and we can't be afraid to. But before I go, I'm going to share a couple of websites here. Hope you enjoyed this episode of CKLM's Rude Awakening, as we continue a wild ride between the things out of our control and the things in. Definitely, again, InfoWars.com, a great place to keep an eye on the latest happenings from Egypt, including more concerns about the rise of Islamic fascism, which could lead to World War III, where the further destabilization of the Middle East could certainly lead to more peace. Like false flag terror attacks in this part of the world. No, so keep it on that developing story from all angles. There's a show on TV for hours a day, every day, six days later. You guys know why our media wants us to watch these protests in Egypt so much, and hopefully we look into it from, again, a variety of angles to make the best possible judgment on it ourselves. InfoWars.com, great place to do that. Great health websites to pass on, naturalnews.com, Mercola.com, for pop culture, visual Citizen.com for a philosophical overview of what's going on and how we got here. Alan Watts, CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, Webster Griffin Tarpley, it's Tarpley.net. You can also go locally. You can go to the non-GMO shopping guide.com or SeasonDeception.com for info on GMO foods. FluorideAlert.org for information on fluoride. VRAN.org for legal vaccine exemption forms. Definitely look into those. I got a friend of mine who's actually trying to fight a case on this, and so I'm helping him out with that, and it's amazing to figure out the system, figure out that our laws really do track up to the World Health Organization, another one of those corrupt international institutions they're trying to get us to love with things like international law and so on, that are manipulated by the banking and corporate elite of the world. Definitely go to vran.org for vaccine risks and for exemption forms. Locally, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, great place to network with fellow truth seekers in this city. Press 4truth.ca.
PA. They're filming Najee Falls. Just got accepted at a Wisconsin Film Festival. Check PressPatrice.ca for more on that. And look forward to Into the Fire, their story of the G20 martial law protest that happened here in Toronto last summer. Also, the Toronto Street News, sold by Victor Fletcher's army of dedicated and nice homeless people in Toronto who are informed themselves and can help you get informed if you're with Matuni and help them get a cup of coffee by buying a Toronto Street News. Also, conspiracyculture.com book and DVD store. Great place to pick up some swag on these issues. Pick up some DVDs, pick up some books, get yourself more informed, and then pass that information on. Yeah, folks, we are heading towards 2012, and things look a little bit uncertain. Gas has already hit $1.15. Just a month, 2 months ago, it was $1.05. We can see energy prices are spiking, but we can see our media is running a psyop on us, getting us to look at the Middle East and look at those people, or getting us to think that we're in a recovery, when in fact the economic system we're in is fundamentally unstable. Now that they're messing with us in a million ways, it's not like we don't have stuff to say. So, yeah, let's just get the word out there, and let's do the best we can in the information war to preserve the lifestyles we have and the living standards we have, and to work for a better future. Have a great weekend, everybody. Peace out.
The hatchet and the sticks, the fascist emblem. You could call it conspiracy theory, I don't give a mother. You could get your mother. National security's a cold word for cover up. Hold that down, I look at character. Never let the color get to you. I got white revolutionaries like Muslims in Chechnya. Percussion dumping like the Russian mafia over you. But even they know what it's like when you fighting for Svoboda. So whether Slavic or Islamic, vodka, gin tonic. Drunken fantasies are cool, son, but here's the grim logic. You wanna play industry and start to be rich until they f*** you for millions like Paul McCartney's. My lions live inside a box like Jumanji. Sick that'll stab you up like in Indira Gandhi. So never desecrate the space on which I meditate. My thoughts rip through tag arm and metal plates and start to resonate to the spot where Moses caused the sea to separate the plates as the prophet Muhammad started to levitate. The exact moment that Jesus throws set awake, answer the harder became the Buddha that regenerates. Half of all over, but I bring it home colder than dead soldiers. So controller, holder of knowledge, so Dianetics. I'm like the whole librarian Kemet with Anunnaki genetics. This is the front line, this is the dead zone. Barely alive or in a box is how you head home. This is the front line, this is the life that I chose. I thought I told you motherfuckers to lock and load. This is the front line, this is the dead zone. Barely alive or in a box is how you head home. This is the front line, this is the life that I chose. I thought I told you motherfuckers to lock and load. Check digs, diabolic. This is the front line. The people first, one time.